You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I am your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today, the lovely and talented, yes, lovely.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Good seeing you, buddy. Lovely and talented, Howard Flood. Show's website is pfpod.com. Go there for a bunch of weekly writing as well as each week's episode. Although if you're listening to the podcast, we prefer you get it via iTunes. Download it via iTunes, subscribe, rate it positively, all that. My poor, long-suffering girlfriend, Katie, is staring. She's sitting in studio because we couldn't really plan anything better for the day. So I killed time before she got here by shopping at Target. And I got this EOS brand lip balm that she uses. Like, it comes in a little egg. And I thought it was really cool when she used it. So I bought myself one because I'm kind of running out of lip balm. And I do that thing during the winter where I just bite the lip skin off. And then I have this big, like, herpes sore looking thing. But it's fine if you're a girl. You can put this thing in your purse. I'm bringing it down, by the way. But if you're a guy and you toss it in your front pocket, it just looks like you have a hard-on. It literally looks like the tip of an erect penis peeking through your pocket.
Half chub for the world.
Yeah, but it looks big, so screw it. Like, it looks like you're snaking over, like, 7 inches and then just shoving through the sides of your pocket, so fuck it. I'd be proud to be packing that.
You'd be wearing that year-round now.
Yes. Katie's now just looking down like, yes, I'd be happy if you did too. I will stop bothering you. I just wanted to acknowledge you were here. There's a bunch of good stories, like non-football, because really that's what football has become. Howard's over here. He's like, I like running. I like the actual game of football. I'm the idiot who wants 5 million passing yards per game, and I want drama in my football, and that's what we're getting this
week.
You want
celebity gossip for the NFL is what
I do. I want Kardashian sex tapes, but for the NFL.
You want one with Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning? Is that what you're looking for? Somebody can dip back into the 2000-ish range?
I'm very straight. And if you said there was a tape of Jim Irsay piping Peyton or vice versa, either could top either.
Oh, jeez.
Are you kidding? I would be like the Roadrunner escaping Wile E. Coyote right now. I'd be like that sort of dust trail towards that tape. Speaking of Irsay and Peyton... it's what, Sunday night's game, right? Or is it Monday night's game? Sunday night's?
It's the Sunday night game.
Sunday night game. Sunday, Peyton Manning returns as a Denver Bronco to his long-term home. It's what, Lucas Oil?
Yeah, Lucas Oil Field.
Catchy name, right? Shocker I wasn't able to roll that off my tongue.
Hey, I've been to downtown Indianapolis. It's a nice place to watch any sporting event.
I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I'm bitching about stadium names at this point.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot easier to bitch about when your stadium's a shithole, like FedEx Field. I'm just saying, like, that's garbage.
I don't like FedEx as a product, and I certainly hate the field.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fuck that. All of it.
Yeah.
But Peyton returning, and initially, Jim Irsay, owner of the Colts, put it out there that he intended to throw a really big welcome back type party for Peyton. I guess a lot of video beforehand. A bit of maybe getting him a bouquet and corsage when he comes out to midfield.
Some of that is diabolical, though. Like, the idea possibly is to get him emotional before the game in order to affect his performance.
Really? Get him all charged up? I don't think anything Irsay could say with his big, drunken red Rudolph nose, his Boris Yeltsin nose. I don't think anything Irsay could say could make it more emotional for Peyton. Peyton's already great at charging himself up, and that's where we're going with this, because Irsay kind of gives with one hand, takes with the other. And earlier today, right before the recording of this episode, Irsay comes out and drops some bombs about why he let Peyton go. I don't think Howard wants to act like this is a big deal. But again, I know drama. I know beef. I'll watch some Flavor of Love. I know what Irsay's putting down here. And earlier today, in an interview with Jarrett Bell of USA Today, Irsay boils down the departure of Peyton to the following. We've changed our model a little bit, says Irsay, because we wanted more than one of these, pointing to his Super Bowl ring. Now, if you're Peyton, that's right there. That's a bit of a kick in the teeth. That's saying, look, this guy, the young buck we've got, Andrew Luck, he can get it done way better than good old Frankenstein forehead.
Well, I mean, in context, what he meant is when you look at the salary cap numbers as well, like, Andrew Luck's costing $5 million a year right now, so they can have a complete team around a pretty good quarterback. Versus Peyton Manning is, he deserves to be the highest paid player in the NFL today.
Peyton was, still, for them, what, 20? Was that not the terms of the contract?
Was it? I think he was supposed to get like 28 and some sort of crazy signing bonus. It was going to be a massive amount of money had he come back instead of being cut.
Well, Irsay goes on to say, Brady never had consistent numbers, but he has three of these, again, indicating the ring. Pittsburgh had two, the Giants had two, Baltimore had two, and we had one. It leaves you frustrated. You make the playoffs 11 times, and you're out in the first round 7 out of 11 times. You love to have the Star Wars numbers from Peyton and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. Mostly, you love this. Again, points to the ring, like a mafia don.
Yeah.
What do you make of it? You are not interpreting this as an insult, it sounds like. You think he was purely saying Peyton had to go because of his numbers, and we got this young kid in who's going to be almost as good.
I'll admit, it's a dig. It is a dig because I've been on this show before criticizing Peyton Manning for really not being able to win in crunch time. Yeah. Like, when it comes down to success in the playoffs, frankly, in my opinion, the only ring that the Colts have was due to a rule change in about 2004 when the Colts really did send representatives to the rules committee to complain about the way the Patriots secondary got on receivers. Because they felt like they kept losing these playoff games to the Patriots because the secondary was committing pass interference every time they would dive through the receiver to bat a ball away. So that became illegal around 2005. And that, what do you know? Colts go ahead and win a Super Bowl right then and there. And that's the
sort of... Sounds like a smart move by the Colts then.
Yeah, but I mean, it ruined the game. Like, to me, it's now we're watching wide receivers are more like ballet dancers because they're allowed to just leap and pirouette without a fear of being smacked up the middle.
You cannot touch them all that much. It's not like the old days where literally you can almost trip a guy, shove a guy to the ground.
I mean, I don't
want... 5 yards out, they're protected.
I don't want to see people turning out like Altoon. Apparently, like, when you go to Altoon's house and you ring the doorbell, this is like what they used to say in the 90s. This is before, you know, people got cell phones, but when he first retired in like the 90s, You'd ring a doorbell at his house, he'd answer his phone just because he would hear like that echo ring.
Wow.
From like ding dong, it would just ding dong. He thought it would be a phone ringing. Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's what happens.
That's like a movie sad old person.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had like 9 concussions over a short period from getting clocked over the middle as a wide receiver. I mean, you don't want that. But what they've done to the game now is basically make it so that Peyton Manning can probably get a second ring this year.
Which I'm on board with. I love Peyton. The guy is great. Have you not seen him rap? Have you not seen his videos with Eli? Come on.
But he's only got one of these. As I gesture to my finger.
Yes. your empty none of these finger.
But going back to his comments, so like I think more than any other team on the ones that he listed with more Super Bowls since Peyton's been in the league, the two rings that Baltimore has to piss him off the most.
Well, because they have the shittiest quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fucking Trent Dilfer. Literally, I'm not, with 6 months of training, I think I could have been a competent Trent Dilfer. I'm exaggerating a little bit there, but
right. But he's the only quarterback that I know. Yeah, I remember
wins
at the time.
A Super Bowl and is looking for a job the next season.
Yeah, yeah,
that
it was
says something.
Instantaneous.
Look at, I guess Flacco had a great performance in the postseason, but no one really thought Flacco is the best of the best.
I mean, Flacco is good. He's not. He does not deserve the richest contract in the NFL.
Yeah, but Flacco walks out again, not looking like a 10 out of 10, but he walks out and signs a fat contract based on what? I won you the Super Bowl.
Just
how
won.
Fucking bad was Trent Dilfer that he walks out probably like, look, I'll play for the minimum guys. And They're like, take a fucking ice. You and your ring. I see these words as pretty pissy on Irsay's part. I think maybe you just shut the hell up until Peyton's in and out of town.
That's fair. I mean, I don't disagree with Irsay, though, on his contentions that, like, it is a disappointment in Peyton's career. He's only got one, which is one more than Dan Marino has, but still.
Absolutely. Look at his shitty brother, the king of implosion. I was in a mall yesterday, and I forget what watch Eli is the spokesman for, but there was, in front of, like, a high-end men's store, an ad for Eli wearing a watch. And it's just him reaching back to pass. And you're like,
That's so weird.
They wish they could get that one back. I don't know if it was Timex or whatever the shit. Timex, because I'm a classy guy. It was Casio.
Okay, that makes sense.
No, it was like Gentleman's Echo or Citizen's Echo or some shit. It was a high-end watch.
I was going to say, Rolex wouldn't want a guy who looks like he has fetal alcohol syndrome to be their spokesperson. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I think, yeah, your Rolex, you get Daniel Craig or Sean Connery and other Bonds. Good Bonds, too. Not the shitty ones.
Or Tom Brady. Come on.
Yeah, Brady's all right.
Yeah.
I think it's dumb on Ursay's part to say this.
Why? Why is it dumb to say it now?
If nothing else, Peyton has an almost black rapper's capability of interpreting anything as quote-unquote beef and static. The way they talk about, like, building your vision board in The Secret, he can just build, like, this little wall of quotes that fills him with hate and passion to defeat an opponent. And honestly, the Colts losing to San Diego last night, they're going to walk into this game, and especially if Ursay's comments charge them, the Broncos, and specifically Peyton, to the point they really ripped the shit out of the Colts, you're talking a team that went from last week, I think we were both jacking our dicks over them, me especially, because literally, to me, you're as good as your last win, and if suddenly you're 4-1, you're a world beater. Well, guess what? They're 4-2, and now I could care less about them.
Hey, I'm telling you, like, last night's win by San Diego isn't that outlandish to believe happened. Just because the defense coordinator for San Diego is the brother of the Colts head coach. So there is a bit of a familial knowledge with the way that those two teams were going to play yesterday.
I love that insight, by the way. You brought that to the table earlier. I don't think anyone had that.
Which is stunning, because everybody kept talking about the Harbaugh Bowl last year. And it's like, Where are you guys talking about this? This is a big deal.
Exactly. It's not like Little Pagano is their ball boy or something. He's a defensive coordinator.
And
he's
just
right
screwed
above
his brother
coach.
Over. Honestly, like, he might have screwed his brother really hard, because it might have been a potential outline for other teams to beat the Colts. Because they didn't force a single turnover, all right? I question the ability of Indianapolis to force Peyton to turn the ball over, even at Indianapolis this upcoming Sunday. Like, I just think that defense, as much as they've been keeping people out of the end zone, they're not able to force the ball out of people's hands. They can't turn it over. And I think that's not good when you're playing Peyton Manning.
I'm picking Denver.
But
I love
how
Peyton.
Much? What do you think the margin of victory is?
Going to go with a... give me a 34... 34-23.
Yeah, Denver's defense has kind of been giving up
some
points.
Von Miller's back. Is it huge? Oh, I don't know, but it's something.
They were getting after Andrew Luck last night. You know how much I like laughing whenever a white quarterback
is sacked.
I was going to
say. I
was just laughing my ass
off. I like how you
use
get at. Like a convict. Like, I'm going to get at that backdoor pussy. I want to get at a piece of that white boy's ass.
There was one time when Luck actually slid as he was rushing the ball, and then the tackler just landed on top of him like he was his prison cell roommate.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And then Luck actually gets up and pats him to be like, thanks for not hitting me too hard, black man. I like that. Moving on. Brady scores another improbable last-second win, this time against the Saints. Is this routine at this point for Brady? Is this, what, 32nd, last come-from-behind, last drive type shit?
Come on, man. It's at New England. Like, I don't begrudge the Saints for losing in the last minute in that game. I actually want that to be the Super Bowl rematch, though. Like, that, I'm not saying it has to be that for me, but how exciting would it be to have that game replayed in February at the Meadowlands? Like, to me, those are two really good teams. They have enough game film on each other while they've played each other to really make that an interesting matchup on a neutral field for the championship. Like, that was a good game, and, you know, the Saints played pretty damn well for a road team.
What blew my mind, I was watching that. I was kind of tired. I behaved like a child earlier in the day and had video game time with friends and right. ate a bunch of candy. We don't drink beer, really. I had a beer, but mostly I ate Pringles and Baby Ruth's and a box of Reese's Pieces. So I was riding a pretty massive sugar high, and I get home and the sugar kicks out and I am just nodding off, and I'm trying to stay with that game as long as I can.
Yeah.
And the Saints are up, I believe, was it only three? I thought it was six, because I was nodding off thinking, like, New England's really screwed. Like, Belichick goes for it on, like, 4th and 6 with 2:30 left. I'm like, they blow that. I'm really thinking this game's over. And I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I click on Pro Football Talk, because that's really, if you look at my Firefox browser, that's literally my number one site. I just routinely go to that. You think it'd be porn? Porn doesn't crack my top 9.
Wow.
Don't look at me, Kate.
You've improved.
Yeah.
You've improved.
Exactly. I've been a good boy. No porn in my top nine. There's CNN, a couple of Magikarp sites. You didn't hear that, Katie. Yeah, some dorkiness. She's just looking in disgust. Shaking her head. Oh, it was good while it lasted. And Pro Football Talk is number one. And I click and they're like, well, Brady does it again. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And then I watched PTI on Monday and they had some footage of Rex, Rob Ryan, not Rex, just shaking his head back and forth, throwing his hands up to the sky. Yeah. Like just blown away this happened. If you can find a gif of that.
No, I saw like some of it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It was stunning.
They should have lost. They should have. I'm sorry. Drew Brees did not look particularly good. Brady had that.
That's,
I'm really sure Brady had an ugly pick that I saw, but Brees had another piece of shit too.
And I got to say, like, to me, the key that I saw in that game was Jimmy Graham getting shut down. Like, New England actually had a cornerback able to compete with tight end Jimmy Graham.
That's been like the most productive tight end quarterback pairing of the season, right?
Yeah, he's been unreal.
Especially
he's been
with Gronk
dominant.
Out.
Yeah, and so apparently Gronk did play in the scout team though against Aqib Talib, and that's one of the reasons Talib was doing so well. Because I was watching it, I was like, you know, Talib's pretty big for a cornerback, but I don't know how he's hanging with Graham so effectively. And I think it was because Gronk just spent all week like trying to push him off balance. So it definitely. If that's a rematch, I would look for Graham to do a lot better. I think the Saints were honestly just stunned on the offensive side of the ball that they weren't able to get Graham involved whatsoever. I mean, he could not make an impact on that defense. They were taking him on one-on-one, and they were able to play everybody else because Talib was able to cover for Graham so effectively. So what's sad for me, though, is that is the last interconference matchup of the regular season that seems to matter. Because previous week you had the Colts play the Seahawks. And when you look at the rest of the schedule, Denver's not really playing anybody in the NFC that's worth mentioning.
Which is good for the NFC. What is their combined record against the AFC right now? It's horrific.
Yeah, and I mean, frankly, you really only have two NFC teams to me that seem to be Super Bowl worthy. It's really like between the Saints and the Seahawks. So,
Well, let's move on. I can see my exasperated girlfriend sitting in the corner. Oh, you're smiling. Okay, good.
No, but I
see everything through the prism of disappointment when it comes to a girlfriend, but glad you're smiling. She seems happy.
I'll just say my final point on that game with the Saints and New England, like it really is the final opportunity for us to assess these two conferences head-to-head, like looking at the good teams because, I mean, what, at this point we're looking to the Bengals playing Detroit this week? Like that's probably one of the best matchups between the two conferences we have the rest of the season, man.
I'm looking right now at the list. I can't see anything. It's a lot of actually. It doesn't look as very intra-conference this weekend.
I just like.
Oh, wait. 49ers at Titans.
Who's making the playoffs there?
I mean, dude, if the Colts lose, Titans aren't completely out.
Fitzpatrick cannot throw for a touchdown.
Yeah, but if Locker comes back.
And when is he coming back? When is he coming
back?
When it's too late.
I don't
late,
know. He did one of those old back. Lady falling, I can't get up, shattered hip shits. Oh, man. Moving on. Costas. Bob Costas during Sunday night's game.
Yeah.
Went on record saying, quote, the Redskins name is an insult, a slur. This kind of harkens back to a move he pulled last season, if you recall. Went on a gun control. I don't want to say rant, but he used his little platform. They give him, 2 minutes to kind of jaw during halftime of each Sunday night football game.
Right.
And last year, if I recall, is the Newton Massacre. Newtown.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
It's not Newton. I always spelled it Newton.
Right.
I thought of Fig Newton. It's Newtown. So I don't know if it's pronounced Newton, though. Silent W.
Canadian accent or Connecticut.
Yeah.
Connecticut accent's a little thick. So.
Costa says, think for a moment about the term Redskins and how it truly differs from all others. I'm already lost right there. Does he mean all other team names or?
I think he was referencing other Indian reference mascot names.
Okay. Because Chief Wahoo is so tasteful and dignified.
He did mention that as being. I guess in his opinion, that's the second most offensive, but he really gave him a pass. Which to me, I mean, you look at that image, like, that is mad racist.
I know, man.
The Cleveland Indians don't even have, like, good fans, man. They were in the wild card this year, and nobody was going to watch the games as they were, like
I got a pretty thick skin, but if there was, like, a team called the Greeks, and it was just some, like, fat guy with a mustache and chest hair, and he's, like, fucking a 10-year-old boy in the ass, that'd be a little weirded out. Like a big gob of feta in his hand.
I was thinking, though, about Casas' comments on, like, the Redskins, and, like, I think, personally, my opinion, yes, it is racist, and it should be changed. Even if you told me 90% of Native Americans were fine with it, only 10% thought it was offensive, I'd still say you have to change it.
We should get off our asses and get Dave Brocky, singer of GWAR, in on this. He's very fired up, huge Redskins fan.
Yeah.
Somehow our Facebook friends, like back when his profile went public, I was like, fuck yeah, GWAR singer. I loved you guys. And he's very fired up about it and really finds it horribly offensive. I'm kind of in the middle. Let me continue with what Costa said. Ask yourself the equivalent, what it would be if directed toward African-Americans, Hispanics, or Asians, or members of any other ethnic group.
And this is actually what I was thinking about, because I was like, all right, so if Compton got a football team and they got to call it NWA, I think a lot of black people would cool with that.
Well, I think he loses his way, members of any other ethnic group. Imagine like the New York Paisans or something. How would that be racist? You know what I mean? Like every guinea in the joint would be laughing their asses off. They'd love it.
The thing is, with a lot of the nicknames you could come up with, it would be like 90% of people in there would be like, that's kind of cool. But the 10% who are offended are really offended.
Yeah, they're very, it's very, put it out there and it sounds like I'm liberal bashing or something, which I'm not because I'd fall more on that end of the spectrum. But it sounds like the quote unquote very vocal minority who's, you know, I'm offended. When considered that way, Redskins can't possibly honor a heritage or a noble character trait, nor can it possibly be considered a neutral term. I don't view this through the whole, there's a lot of like conservative guys who are like, oh, it's a thought police come to, you know, change this. I'm not going that far with it. I'm simply saying we want to, as outsiders, we want to look at Redskins. And yes, applying my limited knowledge of, you know, I got black friends, I got Asian friends. I don't think my black friends would be cool with the black skins. You know what I mean? I don't think my Asian friends would be cool with the yellow skins.
Although, being an Asian,
yeah,
I've always wanted to have a traveling basketball team where it's me, a bunch of other Asians, and some light-skinned black people.
Yeah.
And we'd be the high-yaller ballers.
It works for me. You could take on the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
And they'd beat you with their blackness.
Damn.
I don't have any Native American or Indian or whatever friends. I don't know where this falls in the spectrum. We are kind of stepping into this and saying, well, this is what that word has to mean to them. I truly don't fucking know. I have no clue. I have no frame of reference what it means. I know my black friends, whenever I'm joking around, I let the occasional nigga with an A slip. Even then, and there's just that 10
awkward
seconds
pause
of
like,
so what are we getting for lunch?
And yeah. Like,
slid. Thank God. Yeah. You know, everyone's just like, we know that didn't mean to happen. It just happens. We all know that behind your back, I quote rap lyrics furiously and fast. And thank you for letting that go past. And, you know, if I'm hanging out with an Asian driver or Asian friend, I start bitching about Asian drivers. They'll usually hop right in. They're just like, yeah, we're horrible.
Yeah.
That
oh,
kind of
yeah.
stuff. But,
well, specifically Koreans in Northern Virginia. Yeah. No, I subscribe to that, too.
I'm not big on keeping it for historical reasons. I don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't care. I want to know that it really is burdensome and hurtful to these people. I don't want it to just be a bunch of outsiders being like, yeah, they hate this. And literally the vast majority of that Native American population is like, I don't give a fuck. It's not even what you think it means. Like what you guys think it means and the offensive level you know, the connotation you put on it, it just doesn't have that within our community. If you told me that, it's hard to get behind the efforts to change it. But if they're like, dude, that literally is our version of the N-word, then yeah, change it. That's fucking horrible.
Well, I'll put the context a little broader than that. So there are like a set number of tribes that are very much against this, and it varies from like Native American community to Native American community. Like mm-hmm. they really do, like for federally recognized tribes, they really do vary in the way that their cultures work. So some of them are pretty offended by this. Like the Oneida Nation recently came to D.C. to have a talk with people, like the public, about the problems with the name that the Redskins has for people in upstate New York. Not every tribe feels this way. Not everybody within every tribe feels this way. But there are tribes where it's more than half the people. So And it's,
I mean, if that's the case, if you're literally talking 50% of Native Americans are like, look, that name's kind of bullshit. Well, then change it. I don't care.
It's, let's just say, like 50% of people who are Oneida, which is like one of like the 500 plus tribes in the United States. I mean, you're still like offending an entire half of like an entire tribe of people.
You know, but what if you're saying you're offending the Papa Giorgio tribe? That's three of us.
No, but it would be more akin to, nah, I mean, you have to look more like one of the tribes of Israel. You know, it would be more like that. You can't just say like, oh, it's, you know, my family unit. Like, you can't. They need to change that scene in National Lampoon's because it offends Papa Giorgio's worldwide. It's not like that. No,
numbers are vast and growing.
No, they really are like under the U.S. Constitution, like a separate nation. So, I mean, you do have an entire nation of people within the United States who are like, this is messed up. And they're more than a couple. I mean,
I simply want those figures. That's all. And again, it sounds kind of prickish where you're like, I want to hear they're offended before we change it. But at the same time, there's a lot of impetus to change it. And some of it really does seem bandwagoning. It really has become the cause du jour inside of football right
now. Yeah, I mean, it's excessive. I think people are rewriting history a little, and I think that's the hardest part. Like, Redskins used to not be an offensive term.
Yeah, the dude who plays Narcisse on this season of Boardwalk Empire, he's a Redskins fan, and he went on Totally Unbiased with Kamal Bell, W. Kamal Bell, I believe his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you got to understand, they came up with that term, and it was like a fuck whitey term. Like, it was almost like my nigga, not nigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you my Redskin. Like, they used it with each other to be like, we are not white people, we are Redskins. So, again, I don't... But maybe it's changed with time?
Exactly. That's the thing that you have to keep in mind. Like, it wasn't perceived as offensive at a time when, like, Negro was part of the white vernacular,
yes.
You know? So, I mean, to me, like, you can't say it's the N-word. It really is more like Negro, though. Like, who goes around using that now? No, like, that's an archaic term.
I miss
We've
my
tried
grandma
to phase that out.
So much. There's your answer.
But no, this is what I'm saying. Like, Redskin is akin to Negro. It's not like the N-word where it's like, oh, this was designed to offend you. Well, no, but it definitely has become an offensive, like, vestige of the way people used to be, like, in times of segregation. So we've moved away from that. And I guess a final thought I got on this is, I mean, if you want to look at the history of the franchise of Redskins, I believe they were the final team, the NFL, to
integrate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also are throwing out there, I don't like the history lesson they're giving where it's like, oh, the very first coach of this team was a Native American. The name was picked to honor him. I don't know about that bullshit. I just do remember they were the last to integrate, but at the same time, right afterward, they had the highest percentage of black players. So there you go.
Interesting.
They went black and never went back. Let's move on to the actual games of the week. Some football talk, not the drama surrounding it. For my money, in terms of actual significance in any sort of playoff race, you've got Cowboys at Eagles. And I know you want to shit on the NFC East, rightfully so. Gosh. It's a garbage division. But whoever takes this, sole possession of first place. They own the tiebreaker, not to mention, you know, the actual record difference. Who you got? I know you don't care.
Well,
who you got?
Who's
who
at got? Home?
Eagles are hosting. Eagles have actually righted the ship. They went from 1-3. They're now 3-3. I kind of have to eat ball.
Honestly,
after bashing Chip Kelly's offense.
I really do think it's going to be a fun game to watch because these are two very offensively minded coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hopefully see more points scored than the Denver Cowboys game is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we hit 60.
I'm pissed we don't get to watch it in the D.C. market. We'll be getting Bears at Skins, so we'll watch the Bears get the, you know, do it to the Skins.
We'll see if that's true. I think the Bears are not necessarily playing top flight football at this point.
Don't think they're that good. I think they're good enough to beat the Skins.
Well,
I think
who isn't at this point?
Very few. Very, very few. I think the Jags and Skins would be a meeting of near equals, honestly.
I don't think it's that bad. The Redskins are looking better recently. But, I mean, to go back to Philly and Dallas, I think...
What are we listening? What was that?
I don't know.
Oh, that was just like some ad on your iPad or some
Sorry,
crap.
Man.
No, I don't give a shit. I don't think it picked up that much. I was just wanted to make sure the computer wasn't haunted or something.
All right.
I could run around screaming like a girl.
But with Dallas, I think they're going to be the favorite. Well, no. I think even with Foles a quarterback, you'd have to give the slight edge to the Eagles because they're at home.
I would assume as much, yeah.
Yeah.
Seahawks at Cards. I know it doesn't sound like the best matchup. You kind of are a backer of the Cards, and I just like it because if the Cards pull this off, suddenly they're 4-3, Seahawks 5-2. they're a game behind and, again, own a tiebreaker. That's an important thing.
I don't think the Cardinals are going to be able to break Seahawks. I just think that defense is too good, man.
Me neither, but fuck you for throwing me to the Wolves like that before the show. You're like, yeah, fucking Cards can take them.
I said that last week before they played the Niners. That's what I said about the Niners.
Oh, okay.
And they lost to the Niners, by the way, by like 2 touchdowns. So
yeah. So I was right on that one. We have Ravens at Steelers. Again, this is divisional stuff where one team seems out of it, but the Ravens are currently 3-3, looking unimpressive as hell. Steelers 1-4. You get the win, you're 2-4. Again, tiebreaker versus
at Pittsburgh.
At Pittsburgh.
I think
you really think this kind of rivalry shit, they can't get fired up? Because the Steelers have never been blown out this season. I don't recall them once getting buried. It's always been like a one touchdown loss type scenario.
I'm living in Baltimore now, and I gotta give the advantage to Pittsburgh right now. Watching those Ravens games, their offense looks terrible, and that Steelers defense is still good. And I just think that there's going to be very little chance of the Ravens scoring a touchdown in that game. So,
all right, well, let's wrap this one up with the game of the week to most people. Sunday night, you got Broncos at Colts, Peyton's homecoming. We talked about it at the beginning. By the way, I am picking Steelers in that last one, too. I have not been impressed with anything the Ravens have done this year.
Can I tell you one more thing about that rivalry, though?
What?
Let me tell you a story about my roommate.
Okay.
My roommate actually went to the playoff game up in Pittsburgh a couple years ago when it was Ravens versus Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Took some signs with him. This kid has balls, man.
Brass ones.
Yeah. Did I tell you the signs he had? So he goes by himself, first off.
Wow.
And basically, when you go into the stadium, They usually have like a police officer who screens your signs.
Yeah.
And my roommate walks in with the sign, and the cop's just like, you know I can't let you like take that in. And the sign said, Big Ben is better than Joe Cool, .. at raping women.
I should laugh about that in front of my girlfriend.
I'm telling you, like, people were yelling at him all the way in the stadium because, like, he didn't get to take it into his seat.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Pittsburgh fans were just like, one guy, like, just straight up told him, yo, go back to Korea with that. I was just like, what is your Asian ass doing carrying around that kind of crazy sign in Whitetown, Pittsburgh?
Wow, those are some brassy yellow balls that man's packing. Who are you taking in that one, by the way?
Which one?
Colts, Denver.
All right, so back to Colts versus Denver.
Yeah.
I can't pick Colts, man. Like, no. they just laid one down last night.
Oh,
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, did they?
I mean, like, I still think that's a playoff team, but I'll say this. You know what I learned last night? It's not that the Colts, like, know how to stink once in a while. It really is that San Diego's good enough to beat anybody in the league.
Oh, they're total crapshoot. Total wild card. Charlie Kelly, Always Sunny in Philadelphia style wild card.
Yeah, for me, it's weird because I think San Diego could lose the next time they have their rematch against the Raiders, but they could also end up beating...
Yeah. By that, I don't mean wild card contention, by the way. I just mean they can take... They are the any given Sunday team. And on that note, we are wrapping up this episode of Papa's Football Podcast. Again, I was your host, John Papagiorgio. That was my co-host, Howard Flood. You want us on Twitter, it's at Papa Football Pod. The show's website, pfpod.com. Go there for football writing, gambling advice. Yes, sweet, sweet gambling advice.
Recreational use only.
Every episode of this show, find us on iTunes if at all you can. Use a podcasting app that's literally just podcasting on any sort of iOS device. Android has 6 trillion different podcast apps. That's why I hate Android, that and a variety of other reasons. But find us, subscribe to us, rate us, and tell your friends about us, because we'd be doing work at your desk. Don't we, Howard? Don't we? We're out of here.